Dear listener, we hope that you've been enjoying the variety of podcasts that we have on our network. Now is your opportunity to help us by telling us a little more about you. Please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey and complete our listener survey so that we can learn more about you and your listening habits. Again, please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey. Thanks so much.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Thinman. We have got an awesome show for you. We are in the Rosh Hashanah season. Rosh Hashanah is just next week. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I just get so taken aback by it. My time just flies. But we're going to have a good time this hour. In this half hour of the show, we're going to speak with Rabbi Nathan Laufer from San Diego, who has written a book called Rendezvous with God, Revealing the Meaning of the Jewish Holidays and Their Mysterious Rituals. Well, we've got holidays coming up, so that's a good thing to talk about. We've got lots of eclectic music from various genre of Jewish musics peppered throughout the hour. The portion of the week is the portion of Nitzavim, and we have a really unbelievable Baal Shem Tov story at the end of the show. Stick around for that one. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Hamas launched a drone over Gaza, which the Israelis immediately shot down. Hamas has spent the last 2 years developing its drone program. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addressed the UN General Assembly in New York City, saying the UN began as a moral force and has become a moral farce, unquote. Nevertheless, Netanyahu predicted that Israel has a bright future in the UN. Show us. While in New York, Netanyahu met with President Obama for half an hour in a hotel near the UN. Obama pressured Netanyahu to cease building in the West Bank. Netanyahu pushed back by saying that the PA must rein in terrorism. A security guard at the Israeli embassy in Ankara, Turkey, shot and wounded a man armed with a knife who tried to enter the embassy. Palestinians threw rocks and firebombs at soldiers and worshippers visiting Joseph's tomb in the West Bank. 700 pilgrims entered Shechem shortly after midnight this last Thursday. The visits are scheduled for late night as to minimize friction. Israeli border police were attacked outside the Tomb of the Patriarchs in Hebron by two knife-wielding Arab terrorists. Those terrorists were both shot and killed. Former Israeli President Shimon Peres, who suffered a massive stroke a week ago, remains in serious but stable condition. Peres is on life support, and we will keep you apprised of any changes. And finally, in the sport, Team Israel rallied for 4 runs in the bottom of the 7th inning and went on to defeat Great Britain 5-2 in its opener of the World Baseball Classic qualifying tournament in Brooklyn. Israel next plays Brazil this afternoon. The winner plays in the World Baseball Classic Tournament in South Korea in March. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. One Stop is having a wine tasting today between 2 to 8. Check out all your favorite possibilities for the upcoming holiday. And they're also having one if you can't get there today. There's so many things going on. Like the Chauffeur Factory out in West Bloomfield. That starts at 12 o'clock at the JCC. They'll also get to go to one another wine testing at Wine Stop on Tuesday between 1 and 8. Hey, Schulterman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We got some music for you. This is brand new. This is Avram Fried, of course, classic. It's called Ani Itecha. I am with you.
Things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Tenen, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are on the line with Rabbi Nathan Laufer. Rabbi Laufer is the Director of Advanced Institute for Judaic Studies at the San Diego Jewish Community. He has written many books. He received his smicha, his ordination, from Yeshiva University, and has a leadership education certificate from Harvard, as well as a Juris Doctorate from Fordham University. Welcome to the show, Rabbi Laufer. How are you today?
Okay, thank you very much for having me.
It is indeed our pleasure. Okay, so we got the holidays coming up, and you've written a book called Rendezvous with God, Revealing the Meaning of Jewish Holidays and the Mysterious Rituals. So the adjective mysterious quite intrigues me. So if you can explain to me why someone would think the things that we do on Jewish holidays are mysterious.
Well, you know, Jews do all sorts of rituals, which, you know, to an outside observer anyway, or to someone who's not well steeped in Jewish education, you know, might look odd. Whether it's blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, or sitting in a thatched hut on Sukkot, or, you know, prostrating themselves several times in the course of tefillot on Yom Kippur, these are, you know, a little bit different. And, you know, when you start to read the, let's say, the Avodah and Yom HaKippurim, the service in the Musaf and in the Torah reading on Yom Kippur, it really gets to be strange. A lot of talk about sacrifices and spraying of blood, and it's like, wow, these are really, you know, way out kind of rituals. And, you know, somebody was saying, like, well, what is this about? You know, is this something I can relate to? Is this something that has deeper meaning, or is it just a bunch of archaic traditions and customs?
Okay, so your book covers all the Jewish holidays, but we're going to focus more on the upcoming ones because it's relevant to the time. There was an article in last week's Forward that decried, it was a column, and the suggestion there was, do we really have to go through Rosh Hashanah again? It's true. It recognized that if there are Jews who go to the synagogue or temple three times of the year, it's Yom Kippur and the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. If it's twice a year, then it's Yom Kippur and it's Rosh Hashanah. And if it's once a year, so then it's Yom Kippur. So Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur seems to have gotten a lot of good marketing. And I've heard on Rosh Hashanah afternoon, I go to hospitals and I blow shofar, and I've had many old ladies say to me, Rabbi, thank you for coming, because now since I held the shofar, I'm going to have a good year. So people have this image that they're going to hear the shofar, they're going to have a good year. But this person, this author, this columnist, said, do we really believe that there's an old man sitting on a throne writing in a book? And what about this birthday of the world stuff that we say that Rosh Hashanah is, quote-unquote, the birthday of the world? Do people really believe that? So how would you tackle that and respond to that column in the Forward, Rabbi Laufer?
Sure. Well, you know, so that's actually the question that I asked myself as well. Is it really the birthday of the world? And, of course, there's no way of answering that definitively. But it is interesting to go back to the sources and to see that, in fact, the Torah never says that it's the birthday of the world. In fact, it never even calls Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah, which is, you know, the beginning of the new year. What it calls Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the seventh month of the year. And in two different places it says that. So there is no reference within the Torah itself, certainly, to this being the new year. And even in the rabbinic sages, there was a clear machloket. There was a difference of opinion amongst the sages whether this really was the birthday of the year and of the world and of humanity, or whether actually the correct time would have been Nisan, which is for counting the first month in the Torah And therefore, the first day of the first month would have been Rosh Chodesh Nisan, not Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, which is what we have as Rosh Hashanah. But to get to the point of the column, the way that I understand Rosh Hashanah, after having spent about 20 years thinking this through and learning through all the Mikorot, all the different sources, is that Rosh Hashanah is actually more than the birthday of the world. It is the recreation of the revelation at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai. It is the time that the Jewish people heard God speak to us, reveal God's self to us. That's the title of the book, Rendezvous with God, times that God revealed his presence to the Jewish people, and where he uttered the Ten Commandments, and we heard those commandments. And those commandments are as relevant today, maybe even more so, than they ever were. You know, we every day we read in the stories, the newspapers, put on the radio, and we hear about, you know, the atrocities that ISIS is perpetuating around the world, or that radical Islamic terrorism is perpetuating. This is simply a violation of the sixth of the Ten Commandments, which is do not murder. This is what it is. It's murder. You read in the financial pages about Wells Fargo, and you know, this is once a really great company, and now they went ahead and opened up millions of accounts for customers and charged them fees. And this is, you know, simply a violation of do not steal. And that's what it is. We live in a civilization where, you know, sexual norms are also violated all the time and accepted within Western society, and this is not right. There are norms of sexual propriety in the Bible and in Jewish civilization. So when we hear the shofar, what we really hear is God speaking to us, uttering those Ten Commandments. And when we stand up for that and listen reverentially to that, we are, in fact, giving testimony that we believe in this. We believe that God spoke to our people, and we believe that God wants this of humanity. He wants people to be civilized.
Okay, you're confusing me, Rabbi Laufer. I thought that Shavuos, which is the day which celebrates the giving of the Torah, would be the day in the Jewish calendar that we would commemorate and celebrate and rededicate ourselves to those Ten Commandments. Could you clarify, please?
Right. Yes. So I addressed this question because, you know, in conventionally, that's how I was taught as well, and everyone is taught this way. It's possible that the Torah actually wanted us to have two holidays to commemorate the revelation at Sinai, in the same way that, for instance, let's say Shabbat and Pesach both commemorate the Exodus from Egypt, which was certainly a major event in our history, and so was the revelation at Sinai, a major event in our history deserving of double holidays. The reason that I'm saying that Rosh Hashanah is about the revelation is because the Torah only tells us one pertinent fact about Rosh Hashanah, and that is that it's Zichron Truah. That is the remembrance of the blowing of the truah. Now, a truah is a sound that is made by a shofar or by a trumpet, and it's meant in the Torah. The Torah tells us in Bamidbar, in Numbers 10:10, that it's meant to move the encampment if there's a truah, and then there's a long sound called a tzikiah, which is meant to gather people together. So you move the encampment by blowing like that, and you gather people together by a long sound. So there's only one time in the Torah, prior to the Torah telling us about this Zichron Truah, this remembrance of the Truah, where there was ever a trumpet or a shofar blown. And that place is at the revelation at Sinai. And there, the shofar is mentioned three times, two times before the revelation of the Ten Commandments, and then once immediately after the revelation of the Ten Commandments. And the sound of the shofar there is called kol ha-shofar, the sound of the shofar. And that same word kol is also used to describe God's voice, that Moses would speak and God responded with a kol. That same word is used to describe the thunder and the lightning and all the kolot, the sounds that God put on, you know, put on a great sound and light show at the revelation to impress and strike some awe into the Jewish people. So what Rosh Hashanah is, as far as I can understand from the Torah's perspective, it is the remembrance of that revelation, that thunderous, awe-inspiring revelation, which is also why it's a day of fear and trembling, a day of that begins the 10 days of awe, and not a happy day as you would think if it was the birthday of the world and we would sing to the world or to humanity, happy birthday. It's not that kind of day. It's a day for deep contemplation, for seriousness, and for recognizing, you know, why we are here on this world.
Okay, if you're just joining us, our guest today is Rabbi Nathan Laufer. He's written a book called Rendezvous with God, Revealing the Meaning of the Jewish Holidays and Their Mysterious Rituals. There is a traditional greeting or blessing that we wish each other there, that we should say, L'shana tova tikaseh v'sichasema, that you should be written and scribed in the book of life. Are we still throwing around this idea of an old man, God represented as an old man sitting at a desk and writing things on Rosh Hashanah and then closing and sealing the book on Yom Kippur, Rabbi Laufer?
Well, look, I do think that the notion that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment is 100% correct, and that it is proper to wish each other that we should be written and inscribed for a good year in a metaphorical way. Not that there's an old man sitting there, you know, who hasn't yet gotten into the computer age and doesn't, you know how to work an Apple. But since again, in my understanding of Rosh Hashanah, it is a commemoration of the revelation at Sinai, the revelation of the Ten Commandments, and, you know, in rabbinic tradition of the entire Torah. So that means that this is the day when the Jewish people became accountable. Okay? You can't hold somebody accountable unless you first tell them what they're supposed to do. So the Rosh Hashanah represents the day where God told us, this is what you're supposed to do, and I'm going to hold you to account for this. So, for instance, later on, when the Jewish people worshipped the golden calf in the times of the Bible, they violated the first two or three commandments of the Ten Commandments. And that's why God could hold them accountable, because 40 days previously he had said, listen, you know, I'm the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt, and don't have any other gods before me. So, you know, I asked you to do that. You agreed to do that. You said, Naseh v'nishma, we're going to surely do this. And then you didn't. So then, you know, God had to say, okay, well, that's a violation. That's not good. But because Moshe was my friend, I'm going to forgive you. And you know, Moshe persuaded Hashem to forgive us, and that's why we have Yom Kippur. Okay, Yom Kippur is the day where we commemorate the fact that God loves us so much that even if we don't always do the right thing and we make mistakes and we make errors, that God's loving presence will forgive us. So it's both. We definitely should be wishing each other that we should have a good forthcoming year, and that if we end up doing the right thing and do tshuva, do repent, if we've done some wrong things, then you know, we believe God will be with us and will bless us.
Okay, cool. Very good. Very well explained. A lot of Rosh Hashanah focuses, I mean, we spend a lot of time praying, trying to get on, you know, forgiven for our sins and having a good year. But there's a lot of emphasis on food traditions. We have the apple dipped in honey. We have the head of an animal. People eat honey cake. People don't eat horseradish or pickles. Why is there so much emphasis placed? I mean, it's not just handed down from, like, say, grandmother to granddaughter, but it's written actually in the code of Jewish law about eating things like beets and spinach and carrots and et cetera, and not to eat nuts, all types of things like this. So the reason and rationale for their allegories is all given there in the code of Jewish law, but am I not going to have a good year if I didn't eat carrots on Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Laufer?
No. These are beautiful customs and traditions and mores that the Jewish people have developed over time. And, you know, it's a credit to our people and to our rabbinic leadership that they, you know, they sanctioned these, that they developed these. And it helps to encourage people that, you know, to live as a Jew is not to live but as we do only on Yom Kippur, you know, in a kind of ascetic way. But it's to live joyously, it's to live richly, it's to partake of God's good earth that He gave us. Everything that God gives us in this world, nature and the Torah, is meant to enrich us. It's meant to make our lives fuller, more meaningful than it's been, you know, when we're just going through our day-to-day motions. So these are lovely customs. I encourage people to try some of them, all of them, if they have. But it's not about food. Food is something that sustains us and that we thank God for every day. But it's about ultimately, you know, what we stand for, what we care about, what the Torah is telling us is important and meaningful in our lives.
Okay. Now, so then, after we have all of this allegory through the food, 10 days later, we come to this holiday called Yom Kippur, which is a Day of Atonement, where we're told, forget about food. We're not going to do any allegories now. No food, no drink, no nothing. It seems like an exact antithesis, a total flip-flop of what we're trying to do from Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Laufer.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's an excellent point. So in my book, I try to explain, you know, there are a few things, actually, that, you know, traditional Jews don't do on Yom Kippur. They don't eat, they don't drink, they don't have sexual relations, they don't bathe, they don't put on moisturizer, they don't wear comfortable leather shoes. And I explained them in two ways. First, it's a way to keep us away from what got us into the golden calf, right, which is the major sin that the Torah had to deal with and originally legislated Yom Kippur for. In the golden calf, the Torah tells us that when Moses was up on Mount Sinai, the people were anxious about his not coming back, and they create this golden calf to worship because they think Moshe is gone. And the Torah tells us that they ate and they drank and they got up to play, which is probably some kind of has some kind of sexual connotation. And then Moshe comes down and he sees this and he says, I see affliction. And Yahushua thinks, oh, it must be a war going on, the affliction of the victor, the affliction of the loser. And Moshe says, no, it's not either of those. I just hear affliction, and I think he's referring to the affliction of God, that God felt afflicted, that the people were not keeping his Torah, that they were abandoning him 40 days after he gave them the Ten Commandments, and so on. So Maimonides teaches us that if we want to do true repentance, we have to keep away from the things that got us in trouble in the first place. And since the Torah tells us that we were eating and drinking and partying and so on before the golden calf, so the Torah says, you know, one day a year, show that you really repent for that, don't touch that stuff. And then later the Torah tells us that the people were mourning when they heard that God was angry at them and wouldn't accompany them to the promised land because he was so angry. And we know that when people are grieving, when they're mourning, that they don't wear comfortable leather shoes, they don't bathe, they don't take good care of themselves, they don't put on moisturizer. So the Torah here too has us relive what the Jewish people did in order to get atonement from God, in order to get forgiveness from God. And so by staying away from the things that got us in trouble and doing the things that later re-endeared us to God, we kind of experience again the early Jewish people's life and are strengthened by that and say, wow, just like God forgave the Jewish people then, we hope and pray and yearn that God will forgive us again this year and that he'll give us a good year.
Okay, awesome. So then, right after that, so now we have this whole business. We have something called the High Holidays, which are called in Hebrew the Yomim Noraim, the Days of Awe. After Yom Kippur, there is a complete paradigm switch. And the holiday of Sukkot, which really Sukkot could have been celebrated at any time because it just commemorates, I'm suggest, it commemorates the concept that God took care of the Jewish people for 40 years while they're in the desert, and we could have done it anyway. And we refer to that time as Zman Simchasenu, the time of our rejoicing. So here it is. How is it the Jews are supposed to be flipping this way so much from like days of awe to times of rejoicing in a mere four day interval, Rabbi Laufer?
Right. Well, you know, the joy came actually as soon as God announced or indicated that He had forgiven the Jewish people on Yom Kippur. And in fact, the Talmud tells us that there was no more joyous day, despite all the asceticism. There was no more joyous day in the Jewish year other than Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av, the 15th day of Av, which was for other reasons. It was like a Sadie Hawkins day. But Yom Kippur became, in the second half of the day in biblical times, a day of joy. When they, in temple times, when they saw that God had forgiven the people and that the red string that was hanging outside of the Mishkan turned white, miraculously, people were overjoyed. And that leads into Sukkot. And Sukkot is about the recreation of a home for God. The Mishkan, the temporary dwelling or the traveling dwelling for the divine presence in the Bible. It was a national project that the people undertook. And at the end of completing this beautiful sanctuary for God, God's presence comes down and dwells inside it. That's what we read at the end of the book of Exodus. And that truly is the cause of the greatest joy. And that's why Sukkot, of all the holidays, is referred to twice as the day of joy in the Bible, in Deuteronomy. And we are thrilled that God has come to live with us. God is not only visiting, but God is coming to dwell with us. And then we'll go into all of Vayikra, and we begin to offer the sacrifices to God. And then God shows His appreciation by consuming those sacrifices, which is why we are going to celebrate Shmini Atzeret, because it was on the eighth day, the Shemini, when every party was gathered around. They were was an Atzeret, a community gathering, that we have Shmini Atzeret as well. So we make that switch from asceticism to joy because that's the way the people in the Bible experienced it. And so we now re-experience it. It's the same thing as we do when we do on Passover. We re-experience the Exodus from Egypt. All the major events of our ancestors in that first year after the Jewish people left Egypt are re-experienced by us year after year. And this energizes us, gives us hope, gives us meaning, and gives us the strength to continue as a Jewish people, as a Jewish community, into the next year.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you so much for explaining it like that, Rabbi Laufer. Our guest today has been Rabbi Nathan Laufer, has written the book Rendezvous with God, Revealing the Meaning of the Jewish Holidays and Their Mysterious Rituals. It is published by Magid Press and available wherever one acquires Jewish books. I want to thank you so much, Rabbi Laufer, for coming on, and we want to wish you and yours that you be written and inscribed in the Book of Life for a happy and a healthy new year.
Thank you very much, and the same to you, Rabbi. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Shel Finman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. I'm all excited now. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. We're going to do it this year. Yeah. Okay, speaking of doing it, we got a request. Somebody wanted to hear some really classical, old-style klezmer music. Didn't leave a name, just said, don't bother naming me, but they just wanted to hear it. So, could there be anything more classical than Abe Schwartz's orchestra playing the classic klezmer piece, Unsere Teure, which means Our Bible? Thank you. Someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Finman here. We got time for one more. This is brand new. The artist is someone I think we may have played before. His name is Nachum Seltzer. This is a piece called Zachreinu L'chaim, that we should be remembered for life. It's a Rosh Hashanah theme, so let's listen in.
No fear. Klal Yisrael begs and pleads for another peaceful year. Inscribe us in your book now for a future filled with joy. Bichaseinu b'sefer achayim. Inscribe us in your book now for a future with no fear. Klal Yisrael begs and pleads for another special year. us in your book now for a future filled with life. V'chasveinu b'sefer ha'chayim l'mancha elayim kimcha.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman, you are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Nitzavim. It is found in chapter 29 of the book of Deuteronomy. We are getting close. I said at the beginning, 6-7 weeks ago, that we're going to be done with the book and starting over with the Bible stories again with the Genesis really soon. And we're talking like a month. Chapter 29 of the book of Deuteronomy. There is a very interesting line in one of the verses. As an indication as to what we're supposed to be doing Rosh Hashanah, a portion of Nitzavim was mandated by Ezra the scribe at the beginning of the Second Temple time that it be read prior to the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. And there's lots of people who say, well, that's because the word Nitzavim, Kol Ham Hayom, you're all standing this day, and this day refers to Rosh Hashanah, as it says, Hayom Hadras Olam today, as it says, this day is the birthday of the world, like we talked about before, with Rabbi Laufer. But there are other things. The portion is just not monolithic. It's multifaceted. There are other things. There's a very interesting monologue, a soliloquy, which is conveyed by Moses. Moses says, do not ask who will traverse the ocean to go get the Torah for us. Who will climb the highest mountain to bring it down to us? But it is very close to you. It is in your heart and in your mouth to do it. This is the theme of Rosh Hashanah. The idea of New Year's resolutions, you know, people take January 1st, they do this New Year's resolution stuff. I'm going to lose 5 pounds. I'm going to give up smoking. I'm going to do, you know, it's whatever it is. You should pardon the expression, New Year's resolutions are not supposed to be Lent. You know, for 40 days, if you're lucky at it, you work at the gym, you go get your membership. You know, I was talking to a person, there's a new gym that opened up in our town. And I asked him about, like, is there seasonal ways? He says, yeah. He says, we make most of our money in January. Because that's when everybody signs up and they pay their yearly dues and then they never see them again. Okay, there aren't good resolutions that a person's supposed to take before the new year. And in this case, we're talking about the Jewish New Year. And those are not just resolutions, but a person really should sit down and think beforehand. Like, say, today, for example, Rosh Hashanah is getting really close. And to think, what can I do to improve my relationship with the Almighty? And we've been talking about this already for the better part of 3 weeks. And we know, yes, there's various things that the rabbis have suggested, like increasing in Torah and prayer and charity and repentance and acts of kindness to another person as all means and ways. Yes, that's true. But it's very possible a person can do those and miss the point entirely. Because what does Moses say? It's not out there. What you're looking for is not way out there someplace. And in fact, it's not even next door. What you're looking for is right inside you. It says, the analogy is given that each one of us has a diamond inside of us. Now, if you know anything about diamonds have to be mined. They just don't, you don't like walk around, pick up diamonds. No, you have to really dig and you have to get the diamond and you have to hack it out with a pick or whatever machinery they use now in modern technology. And then this diamond is still, it's all covered over with schmutz. It has to be cut and it has to be polished. And then you go, wow, look at that rock. And that's really what it is, just a rock. But what had to happen? There's a process. It's the same thing with us also. A person has to be aware that what they're looking for is inside of them. And they have to hack out all of the schmutz, all the dirt, all the stuff which is covering over our individual diamond. Because when we come to the Almighty on Rosh Hashanah next Sunday night, and we're all ready, and we're not just all ready to eat brisket, we're all ready to present ourselves to the Almighty that, yes, this is how I am going to be a better person this next year. These are not the resolutions. You have the expression non-binding resolution. No, these are firm commitments. I know where I was lacking in my relationship to the Almighty this past year. And therefore, I know that if I'm going to do A, B, and C, X, Y, Z, that it will improve my relationship with the Almighty, then it will be indeed, Kikarav Elecha Hadavar Me'od Beficho Levavcha La'aseh, it'll be very close to you, within you, in your heart, in your mouth, to do it. Speaking of doing it, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Baal Shem Tov.
Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Hey, Shulfinman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way, go to my website, rabbifinman.com. Right on the homepage, it's the contact link. You contact me, whatever it is that you have on your mind and your fingers to type into the computer. A question, a comment, a criticism, a venting of spleen. It's all good. Just send it off. Check out rabbifinman.com. What else will you find on rabbifinman.com? Well, there's archived editions of the show. We now have a year's worth of shows right there at rabbifinman.com. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, classes, ways in which we hope to make Judaism educational, entertaining, presented there for you. You'll also find the donations page. We paid for July. Great. It's almost October. We're getting there. We're getting really on with August. So the station is really patient. Someone came up to me and said, Rabbi, what's happening? And I said, you know, we'll take care of it. Okay. So in other words, when God decides to get me the money, that's when we're going to pay. And we're hoping that, it says many messengers there are to the Almighty. We're hoping you'll be a messenger for God. And that the money, which is earmarked for the Jewish Hour, because the Jewish Hour has been on for 20 years, is going to be funneled through you rather than just it showing up in my bank account. It's going to come through you because then you get the mitzvah. You have a participation. You become an integral part of the Jewish Hour. You receive God's blessings. Go to rabbifinman.com. Go to the donations page. Click on any number you like. It's all safe, the PayPal. You can do it even as a monthly way, even if it's $5 a month. That's also good. And it goes on. You don't even have to think about it. If you don't like doing internet giving, I understand. Credit cards, you know, hackers, these type of things. Everybody's, there is no one safe out there. Send your donation to any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. The Hasidic story focuses around Yaakov Yitzchak Polnoyer, who's one of the three major students of the Baal Shem Tov. And it said that he was an erudite scholar, he was a religious leader, and not only that, but he was really opposed to the Baal Shem Tov. But he had an open mind. People were telling all kinds of miracle stories about this person getting healed and this business deal going right and all kinds of things happening over there and communities being saved. So he said, listen, there are people who have the ability to do miracles, okay, but that doesn't mean they're pious. It just means that, you know, listen, like I said before, God has many messengers, and so this person has the ability of doing these things, of healing people. Okay, fine. You know, there are healers out there. He says, I want to know if this person is really pious. Is this person really, truly deserving of the name Baal Shem Tov, Master, the good name? So he went to measure booze and kind of hung out there for a couple of weeks. And he did see some really unusual things, actually some miraculous things, and said, but I'm not convinced. I don't see that he's a miracle worker. It happened one day after about 3 weeks that Yaakov Yosef Polnoyer was there. And a person came in and said, Rabbi, please come quick. My son is on his deathbed. And so he came, and as the Baal Shem Tov was walking out, he turned to this Yaakov Yosef Polnoyer and said, come with me too. And they came in the carriage, and they got there, and they walked in the house, and the Baal Shem Tov sat down. He was resting a little bit, and the woman came running in and said, he's in the throes of death. He's going to die. Please, please. The Baal Shem Tov just kind of sat there. A couple more minutes went by, and the woman was heard crying, he's dead, he's dead, he died, he died. With this point, Yaakov Yosef was a Kohen, and a Kohen's not allowed to be in the same building as a dead body. He ran outside, and he was looking at the window, and he saw the Baal Shem Tov get up and go to the room where this dead boy was and do something, whatever he did, and the boy got up. He was fine, and he said to his mother, please make him some soup. He's really hungry, if you don't mind. He hasn't eaten in a while. He saw that he did this, but he still wasn't impressed. This was a Thursday evening. They got into the wagon, and they traveled back to Mezhibuz and got horribly lost. The Baal Shem Tov had a custom that he would never travel on Friday. Wherever he was on Friday, that's where he spent the Shabbos. And he did not want to spend Shabbos in the forest. So he stopped the wagon. He went out into a thicket in the middle of the forest. And Yaakov Yosef kind of like pulled back and watched, like watching him. And the Baal Shem Tov lay down on the ground and started crying, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you know I do not travel on Fridays. And for me, traveling on a Friday is a veritable desecration of the Sabbath. I won't do it. Please guide me out through this forest. He got back into the wagon, and a very short time later, they found themselves back in the Mezhibuz. At that point, Yaakov Yosef felt that he was indeed a pious person, but who was he now to start judging another person's piety? And he went and he cried to the Baal Shem Tov that he should please be forgiven. And the Baal Shem Tov responded the same way that Moses came to the Almighty and said, Salachti kedvarecha, I'll forgive you as you request. That's going to do it for us. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week getting ready for Rosh Hashanah next Sunday night. We're closing with Kol Nidre, which is the opening prayer for Yom Kippur, which is just 2 weeks away. Have a good week.